in the 15th chapter of the book of Revelation. If you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over the image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee. For thy judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. And the seven angels came out of the temple having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. You know, the Bible tells us in one place that we should pray always that we might be accounted worthy to escape those things that's coming on the earth. It tells us that we've got to pray. If we're going to escape the things that's coming on the world, we've got to pray. And I say this so often, many times I say this to you, there are great things that's coming on the earth. There is terrible things that's coming on the earth. And we should pray every hour, every moment, in our minds and in our hearts. The Bible tells us to pray always. When we wake up in the morning, we should wake up with a prayer. The first thing that we should do when we wake up in the morning is start giving glory to God. That should be the very first thing that we do. When we open our eyes in the morning, give God the first fruits of the morning. Start praising God and start talking to God the very first thing in the morning, giving glory unto his wonderful name. And then all during the day, the Bible teaches that we should meditate in the things of God, constantly talking to Christ, meditating day and night in the wonderful Word of God. And why? Because we want to be counted worthy to escape the things that's coming on this world. Folks, I try to impress this on your mind. Being your minister, I try to impress upon you that in this world there is trouble, there is heartaches, and there is woes. And I try to impress upon you that there is horrible things that's coming on this earth, on this very earth that you're living on. There shall be smoke, there shall be fire, there shall be buildings crumbling. John said, I beheld till the cities of the nations crumble to the ground. There's going to be great catastrophe, great disasters, and things are going to crumble to the ground. Great buildings, huge buildings in cities like New York and Chicago and Atlanta, they're going to crumble to the ground. Great buildings in the foreign fields of the world are going to crumble down to the ground. He said, I saw the cities of the nations just crumble and fall down to the ground. What a horrible thought. There's bound to be something bad coming. See, and in our day, we can't speak of it like our grandfathers did. Because in our day, it's not way off. It's not hundreds of years away. I don't believe there's a person here tonight that feels that it's hundreds of years away before these great calamities befall the earth. There was a time when prophets could speak, and it was hundreds of years before the fulfillment. But folks, today it's not hundreds of years. It's just a matter of weeks and months before everything is completed. Great nations fell to the ground. The cities crumbled. The great buildings crumbled. What if you was in Atlanta, Georgia, and all of a sudden there was a shaking and there was a trembling, and you looked up and the great city in the great city and the great buildings that surrounded you begin to break and begin to crumble, how would you feel? It's going to happen. It's going to happen throughout the world. The Bible said, pray. Pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape these things that's coming on the earth. It says here, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true art thy ways, thou King of saints. Here, he tells us that he is the King of saints, that his ways are just and mighty, even to the causing of the nations to crumble. It says that it's still just, that it's not wrong, it's just, that the people who have lived in this world have spun the grace of God until it is a just thing that God should do that. The King of saints shall do that. And the Bible teaches that we are to glorify his name when he starts doing it. How can I stand and glorify God when I see the nations crumble? How could anybody in such a terrible hour stand and glorify God, seeing everything crumble to the ground, seeing the stars fall from heaven, everything going berserk, and stand there and glorify God? How could you do it? There's only one way, and that is for us not to be of this world. The Bible said we're not of this world. If I'm not of this world, then let the stars fall out of heaven. What difference does it make to me? If I'm not of this world, let the buildings crumble. What difference does it make to me? I'm not of this world. This is the land of Esau. I'm just passing through here. So then what difference does it make to me? As long as I'm with God and God's with me, as the song said, any place is home. It doesn't matter if the buildings crumble. I don't want this building to crumble here at Little Bethlehem because we labored for it. But what if it does crumble? What difference does it make to me? I'm not of this world. I'm just doing what he told me to do while I'm passing through this way. So then the Bible said that these plagues were poured out upon the earth. These great plagues. Already, scientists is recording the fact that in the air, the Bible speaks of the plagues being poured out in the air. And they're recording the fact that in the air already, great plagues, great epidemics is in the air. Already, smogs and all kind of infiltration. The Bible said, and they poured their plagues out into the air, and it killed the people. It destroyed humanity. They tell me that they've got some kind of gas now that they can release, and said it'll go right through the buildings and never affect the buildings and go right in and kill people. Just pass right on through the buildings, never affect the buildings and kill multitudes of people. See the things that's coming on this earth, that we should pray always that we might be able to escape the things that's coming on this earth. This very camp meeting that we're entering into right now, this camp meeting has to do with the closing of the doors to the Gentiles. I say that a lot of times to my people that are close to me, that are around me in this area. It has to do with the closing of the door to the Gentiles. Now you would say, Brother Pike, I don't think that God would let a preacher know that. A lot of people say, I don't believe God would let preachers know that. But God does let preachers know that. God's always had somebody in the earth he could talk to. And God still today has people in the earth that he can talk to. The Bible said the heavens declare God's handiwork. I can look at the heavens tonight and tell you what God is doing with the stars. I can look at the heavens tonight and tell you what God's doing by putting the moon and the sun up there. I can look at the heavens and tell you what God's doing by letting the clouds drift by. For even the heavens declare his handiwork. I can look at the ocean and tell you why God put the ocean there. Tell you why God put the trees there. I'm speaking spiritually. You would say, Brother Pike, I can tell you why God put them there. But I'm speaking spiritually. I can tell you why God placed them there. There's a spiritual significance to it. There's a reason why God placed them there. You say, why did God put them there? That they might declare his handiwork. God said, I set the stars for signs and for seasons. I set them there. Even the wise men knew that they were set there for signs and seasons. They were set there and they recognized that they were set there for signs and seasons. Even the wise men knew what star represented the Lord Jesus. And when the Lord Jesus came into the world just by the heavens declaring God's handiwork. So it's a wonderful thing to be in touch with heaven. It's a wonderful thing to feel the presence of God and to know that God is with you. And to know that God talks with you. God has people in the earth that he talks to. God talks with me continually and I talk with God. And we have great fellowship together. and God tells me what He's about to do. Did you know that God's got people that He tells what He's going to do? When He got ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, He said, "Shall I bypass Abraham? Abraham is the friend of God." Said, "Abraham believes in me. I know Abraham that he's faithful. He's my friend. And I know that he will command his household after me. Shall I not tell Abraham what I'm going to do? Shall I bypass Abraham?" God said, "No, I will tell Abraham what I'm about to do. Because Abraham is my friend." And God went down to Abraham's tent and said, "Abraham, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah." Isn't that right? You say, "But that was Abraham." But the Bible said God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If God would go by a little tent out in the desert and tell Abraham what he did, how much more would he come by and tell me what he's going to do and me, a son of God? Hallelujah. If he would tell Abraham what he's about to do, God will tell me what he's going to do because I'm his son. Hallelujah. So then, I am a son of God and I talk with God and God talks with me. And God tells me what he's about to do. And I'm passing a little bit on to you, trying to explain to you what God is about to do. What is God about to do? He's about to destroy the earth. He's about to destroy the world. He's about to do away with everything because it's come up before God. He said, Abraham said, "Sodom and Gomorrah has come up before me. And I hear that it's very wicked." Somebody would say, "Well, God wouldn't know whether or not it was wicked. Why would God have to hear from Sodom and Gomorrah? God knows everything." But the Bible teaches God can't look on evil. God can't observe wicked doings. Did you know that? God cannot look at it. And so then God said, "There's a great report come up to me. I've heard that it's a wicked place. I shall go down and see for myself." And how? How did he go down and see for himself? He sent his angelic force down there. Isn't that right? To find out if the report is altogether true. You know, a lot of times we go to pray and we bring our enemies before God. And we say, "Lord, this man is my enemy. This woman is my enemy. They're causing me trouble." God hears that prayer. And after a while, God will say, "I will go down there and see if the report's altogether true." And after a while, there'll be a visitation. And when God sums the thing up, then after that comes the judgment. Like Brother Branham said one time, said, just before judgment strikes the earth, angels always walk through the earth. Always there's angelic forces walking through the earth just before the judgment. Be careful how you entertain strangers, because some has entertained angels unaware. And just think tonight, not just an angel is in your midst, but sons of God. Sons of God are in your midst tonight. You're not just entertaining an angel, but God sends the Son of God to declare the gospel to you and to tell you the glory and blessings of His desire and of His will. Hallelujah. God sends His Son. It's so wonderful to realize that an angel cannot come and preach the gospel to you. An angel might be great, but he cannot come down here tonight and preach the gospel to you. But a son of God can come here and preach the gospel to you. I must be about my Father's business. I can come here and tell you about the glory of God tonight. I can come here and tell you about the blessings of the Lord tonight and declare what my Heavenly Father is about to do, because God has shared it with me and told me what He's going to do in this earth. That's why I say to you, pray always that you might be accounted worthy to escape the things that's coming on this earth. Because great trouble is headed your way. Great problems is headed your way. We need to move up in God. We need to clean up in God. We need to get our lives perfect before God and ask the Lord to do something special for us. Because the hour of God's judgment is come. Great and marvelous are thy ways, O God. And the Bible said the hour of thy judgment is come. That great hour of judgment is come. The Bible speaks of the hour of judgment. That's a great time when the hour of judgment is come. Paul said not to judge anything before its time. We should never judge anything before its time. We should never judge our brother. We may speak of our brother. We may speak of our sister. But we should never judge our brother. Never judge our sister. Because the Bible said not to judge anything before the time. Let's wait till the hour of judgment has come. And then we ought to judge the situation according to the Holy Scriptures. Know ye not that the saints shall judge the world? I'm glad tonight that I've got a chance to judge the world. Now you say, Brother Pike, do you want to judge the world? I certainly do. My heart bleeds on the inside when I see the wicked mistreat the righteous. I feel like Moses did when Moses was down there in the land of Egypt and he saw one of those Egyptians rise up down there and mistreat his brother. Moses was stirred to the core of his soul and he rose up and his anger got the best of him and he slew the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. I get the same way. I see those things happening. There's something, there's a spiritual indignation that rises up on the inside of me. And I think they're mistreating my brother. They're mistreating the righteous. They're mistreating the humble. They're mistreating those that are the salt of the earth. And there's something that rises up in me and I want to judge them. God will say, don't judge anything before the time. Just go on and preach the gospel. Pray. Don't do like Moses did. Don't get upset. Just keep on praying. After a while, everything will work out. Wait for the hour of the judgment. For the hour of the judgment is coming. And when the hour of the judgment comes, then the saints shall judge the world. Amen. Hallelujah. God shall reward every man according as his work shall be. There is coming a time of judgment. But I'm glad tonight to stand here, a son of God, and say, great and marvelous are thy works, O Lord God. Thou King of saints, great and marvelous are thy judgments, O Lord. He said, for thou hast judged the great whore that has corrupted all the earth with her fornications. Great and marvelous are thy judgments. Here we are entering into this camp meeting. Right here at this particular time. Right here at the closing of the doors to the Gentiles. What does it mean? What does it mean when we say the closing of the doors to the Gentiles? It means everything's finished. It means it's over. It's over for the world. You say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that after this camp meeting, everything's going to be over for the world? I mean to tell you that this camp meeting, this very 4th of July, has to do with the closing of the door to the Gentile people. This very camp meeting that's coming up, there's something that's transpiring that the intellectuals have not been able to find. In the days of the coming of Jesus, though they analyzed and searched the Scriptures diligently, though they went into their colleges and studied day and night, yet the Son of God came and stood in their midst and they did not recognize Him. Though they searched through all of their great theologians searched, but they couldn't pin it down. They quibbled over genealogies. They tried to pinpoint things. They got together. They had their discussions. But the Christ child appeared in their midst and confounded them, just a little child appeared over there in the midst of the elders and stood there. These great intellectuals, these great powers, these great scholars that thought they had everything figured out. Like the denominational powers of today, they feel like they've got it figured out. They've got great bodies of believers. They got colleges. They study the Word. Some of them almost got photostatic minds where they can quote passages of Scripture. And they thought they had it all figured out in that day. They think they've got it figured out in this day. All of a sudden there appeared in their midst one that was unlearned, that didn't know letters, just sitting there, didn't know nothing, just a little child. You say, how do you know he didn't know letters? Because he was a child. He hadn't had time to learn. And there he came and sat down in their midst. And there was the great elders and there was the great wise men. Hallelujah. And this little Christ child that was a nobody, he sat down. He didn't have a scholarship, but he sat down in their midst. And he began to expound the Scriptures, hallelujah, and tell them about the great power of God, and begin to tell them about the law and the prophets. And their eyes were fastened on him, and they looked at him, and they couldn't understand it. David said, because I esteem thy precepts to be so great, I understand more than my teachers. I understand more than the ancient, because I count thy word to be right. And there it was, that Christ child right in the midst of them. Hallelujah. He sat there with a nobody. Nobody paid any attention to him. Nobody thought that he had anything. Just a little child. But all of a sudden, all the eyes was fastened on him. And this elder sitting over here, he didn't have nothing to say. And this elder over here that had been so brilliant, all of a sudden he stopped. He couldn't have nothing to say. And then all of them, one at a time, they stopped. And they began to look. And they realized there was a mind that was superior that had come down in their midst. And though they had planned and though they had watched it, they'd missed the coming of the Christ child. Harry said in their midst, one of them said, look, why is the boy? Said, how is it you know letters never having learned? How is this that you understand these things? And they couldn't understand it. And the mother came looking for him. Jesus said, "Mom, don't you know I got to be about my Father's business?" Hallelujah. She couldn't understand it. The Bible says she pondered it in her heart. A lot of times when you get out of the land of your kindred, and you leave the land of your kindred, you leave mommy and daddy, and you get away, and they say, "That's my son, that's my daughter, that's my heart." And say, "Mom, don't you know I got to be about my Father's business?" They say, "Son, I don't understand that. Daughter, what's happened to you?" But we've got to be about our Father's business. Hallelujah. We've got to tell the world about Jesus. Something taking place. God's depending on us to tell the world about it. "Get thee out of the land of thy kindred, Abraham. I'll make thee a great nation. I'll multiply thee as the sands by the seashore, as the stars in multitude." There he was. Glory to God, he'd come on a scene. There he was, the Christ child, sitting in their midst. There they was asking him questions. Can you imagine that? A little 12-year-old boy sitting there, and this great fellow pulling on his great beard, sitting there, and he said, "Hey, would you explain this to me?" Can you imagine something like that? They got beside themselves. They didn't understand. Sitting there, said, "Hey, Junior, would you explain this?" My, the Christ child sitting there. They never knew that was a Christ child. They couldn't figure it out. There he got up and walked out of the midst of them and left them baffled, one to another. And that one that thought he was brilliant that said to the other, and you know, that he was learned in the thing, no doubt. He pulled on his beard and sat there and said, "My God, I never heard nothing like that in my life. I thought I understood something." Did you hear what that child said? How can this be? And they were confounded and they couldn't understand. But the Christ child had come on the scene. See, they had watched, they had planned, they had read, they had studied. But the one thing they failed to do was get in touch with God. The Bible said, "He that is led by the Spirit of God, he's the Son of God." They that are led by God's Spirit. And there he was, being led by the Spirit of God. The Bible said that he waxed strong in the Spirit. I like that, don't you? He didn't join college. He didn't try to go to school. The Bible said he waxed strong in the Spirit. Everywhere he went, he was strong spirited in God. Waxed strong in the Spirit, grew in favor with man and God. Waxing strong in the Spirit, everywhere he went, they marveled. The elders stood and watched him as he would go down the street. My, as he'd come by, walking down the street, Mary's son, they'd watch him as he'd walk down the street. The elders would give way to him. I'm reminded of what Job said in his day. Job said, "When you buttered my way, hallelujah, with butter, milk, and honey, and you made it flow down before me," and said the elders waited at the gate to hear what I had to say. Said they'd gather at the gate and say, "Here comes Job. Let's see what he's got to say." Oh, how glorious was those days, Job said. When they saw that little Christ child go by, they just stand there and look at him and marvel. They didn't know what to do. As he grew older, growing up, when the scribes and the Pharisees came to him, and the great learned men, and they come to him, and they say, "Good master." See, it got a reputation. They begin to call him master. They say, "Good master. Well, we know you're a master. Even the elders confess that you're a master. You're one of those, you're an intelligent person." What do you call him, a genius? He said, "Master, good master." Jesus said, "You're a hypocrite. Why tempt thou me, you hypocrite? Why callest thou me good?" He said, "There's none good save God." Hallelujah. Jesus said, "Don't accredit no glory of God to a human body. Don't you credit God's glory to a human body. There is none good but God, and God is a spirit. Hallelujah. If there's any good thing, come out of me." Jesus said, "Be it known unto you that that's God." He said, "My Father works and I work hitherto." He said, "You've never seen my Father." Oh, glory to God. Don't you know that Christ child felt good as he walked along the street, and those elders coming, all of them shutting down through the years. And they come to him and they say, "Show us the Father." He'd say, "You never seen my Father." Hallelujah. He said, "But I've seen my Father. I know my Father and I'm known of my Father, but you've never seen my Father. I work and my Father works hitherto." Hallelujah. "And I do always the things that please my Father." See, the one thing they failed to do, Christian friend, was to listen to what the Spirit saith. Hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You may have a zeal for a ministry, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with it. But folks, listening, a zeal for a ministry can cause you to miss what the Spirit is saying to the church. Amen. There's something about the flesh that makes you want to bring things to yourself. There's something about the flesh that makes you want to personify things. There's something about the flesh that will take the glory away from the living God. Isn't that right? Why callest thou me good, Jesus said. There's none good but God. Good master. When we get an ambition, like the Jews, they had a great zeal. There was a zeal. But their zeal was not according to knowledge. You say, Brother Pike, what do you mean, not according to knowledge? It's a true fact that those men knew the law. They knew the laws of Moses. They had read the Torah. They knew what it said. But Jesus said, you do err not knowing the Scriptures. My, what an insult that was to them. A Christ child. A little Christ child walking up in their midst, coming up in the midst of them, and saying, sirs, let me tell you something. You err because you don't know the Scripture. My, you make fun of me when I say something about what God has done for me. But think about Him boldly walking up to them and saying, sirs, you do err not knowing the Scripture. And they could look at Him and they could say, why, you young upstart, you come here and tell me I spent my life in the Scriptures. And you tell me I don't know the Scriptures. And Jesus said, and thus it is written. Amen. Thus it is written, Jesus said. And they would look and they would listen and they knew they did not know the Scriptures. He was so mighty, so powerful in the Scriptures. Now you say, what did Jesus mean, Brother Pike? Did He insult those great men of integrity when the Bible said, study to show thyself approved? A workman unto God, it needed not to be ashamed, rightly divine the word of truth. Did God insult those men, telling them that they did not know the Scriptures? Beloved friend, listen. The Lord Jesus did not mean that they did not know the letter of the word. Those men knew the letter of the word. They knew the letter of the word. Isn't that right? They knew the letter of the word. They knew the printed page that Moses had given to them. But was that the Scriptures? Was that the Scriptures? Jesus said, you keep the ordinances of the elders, but the commandments of God you've not kept. Isn't that right? Said to the rich young ruler, you've not done what you ought to do. He said, well, I've kept all the commandments. He said, you like something. And he said to them, said, you don't know the Scriptures. He said, you do err not knowing the Scriptures. But these men were mighty. These men were learned. These men knew the Word of God. They knew it. So far as Moses is teaching, so more as far as the printed page, they knew it. But see, Jesus wasn't speaking of that. See, where is the Scriptures found? The Bible said the Scriptures appeared way back there to Abraham. Isn't that right? What is the Scripture? It's a scribing. The scribe, the Word of God. And they called it scribing, the Scriptures. But see, before it ever become a scribing, before it ever become a Scripture, the Bible said it appeared to Abraham. It appeared to old brother Enoch back there. Amen. Glory to God, it appeared. You do err, Jesus said, you don't know the Scriptures. You don't understand. Let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that heareth my words are spirit, my words are life. He that heareth my words is passed from death unto life and shall not enter into condemnation. Jesus said, you're not spiritual. You don't understand. The great and mighty Paul the Apostle came preaching the gospel to the great learned men of his day. Again, they thought the Christ child had died. They thought he had left them. But here he comes again. The Bible said he resurrected from the dead and he appeared to them in another form. Paul said, it pleased God that Christ should be revealed in my life. Here he comes again. Said, God determined before I was ever formed in my mother's womb that I should bring Christ to the world. And what did he call it? Paul said, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Christ within you, the hope of glory, revealed from the innermost being to the world. You understand what I'm saying? Here he come again. The devil thought he was dead. And here come Paul. Here's that Christ child again. Here he comes again, that member of the body, the bone of bone and flesh of flesh. Here he comes again. And what is he doing this time? He walks up to the same group of people, the same mighty men of valor. And he says, "Sirs, you do err not knowing the Scriptures." Hallelujah. He said, "I would that you were spiritual. But seeing that you're bathed in Christ, that I can't tell you this great, magnificent revelation. I would that you were spiritual." Hallelujah. What was it? It was the Christ child. See, they looked, but they did not know the time nor the season. Though they thought they did, yet they did not know. Oh, great and marvelous are thy works, O God. They didn't understand. Today, they have watched. They've marked the calendars. They've studied the books. They've decided, according to their understanding, that which is in the Scriptures that is inspired and that which is not inspired. And they've got great theologians, and they've got great denominations, and they've got great powers. All of this they've got. But they've missed the coming of the Christ. "I will appear the second time without sin unto salvation to them that look for me." Hallelujah. There's a way that you got to look for. There's a right way to look for him. Hallelujah. But they missed him. "I will appear," Jesus said. "I'll keep my word. I'll be back. If I go away, I'll come again. I'm going away," Jesus said. "Don't be sad. I've got a purpose in going away." What are you doing that for, Lord? "I'm going away," Jesus said. "I got a job to do." "Why are you leaving us?" The disciples said, "This makes us so sad because you're going away." But he said, "We've got a job to do. I go away, but I'll come back again. I will come back again." Isn't that beautiful? Jesus said, "I go away, but I'll come back again." See, we can emphasize the fact that he went away, but can we emphasize the fact that he came back again? Can we? Did he keep his word? "I go away," Jesus said, "but I will return to you. I'll come back again," Jesus said. "The world will not see me." That's where they get hung up. Hallelujah. Somebody said, "Now wait a minute. The Bible said every eye shall see him." That's where they get hung up. Right there. "I go away. I'll come back again. The world won't see me, but you shall see me." Hallelujah. He said at the Last Supper, he drank the wine, he ate the bread. He said to his friends, those that were his friends, he said to the apostles, he said, "I'm drinking wine with you here. I'm eating the Passover with you." They didn't know what the Passover was. They didn't know that the Passover was his broken body. They didn't know that the real Passover was to eat of his flesh and to drink of his blood. Jesus said, "Unless you do it, you have no life in you." He said, "I eat with you and I drink with you. I won't do this anymore until I do it afresh with you in the kingdom of my God." Hallelujah. "I will once again drink the wine with you," Jesus said. Hallelujah. "Someday in my Father's kingdom." On the day of Pentecost, the mighty Holy Ghost shook the building. Cloven tongues as a fire stood upon each of them. The Bible said, the people said, "You're drunk off of the new wine." Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, if you'd have been there and shouted a little bit and said, "Praise God, you're right." Hallelujah. He said, "When I return, the world won't see me. I'll come back to you. Now I will drink this anew with you in my Father's kingdom." Hallelujah. They were sipping on the wine. Sipping on the wine. Hallelujah. They were sipping on the wine. Glory to God. He said, "In your presses shall burst out with new wine." Burst out with new wine. sipping on the wine of the living God. Said, whatever he tells you, do it. And the song said, Jesus turned the water into wine. Hallelujah. And they said he kept the best for the last. Hallelujah. The church of God said, we got the best. The assemblies of God said, we got the best. The Methodist said, we got the best. And the Presbyterian said, we got the best. And the Catholic said, we got the best. But brothers, we got the best. And he kept the best for the last. And we've got the best. Hallelujah. He turned the water into wine. Out of your innermost being flows the rivers of living water. And he turned the water into wine. What is it? I will drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Do you ever sit down and drink it with Jesus? Said, do this as oft as you do it in remembrance of me. Do you ever sit down and drink the wine with Jesus? You ever just sit down and drink the wine of God with Jesus? When you do, you come to understand. You come to know what's going on. I will return, Jesus said. I'll be back. I won't leave you comfortless. Isn't that right? Folks, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. They said, Lord, where are you going? What are we going to do? Why, you know all the world hates us. Why, you just stayed with us, Lord, long enough to turn the world against us, and now you're going to run off and leave us. Jesus said, don't be sad because I said I'm going away. I've got to do something. I've got a job to do. I'm going away. So I'm coming back. I'll be back, Peter. Don't fret over it. See, I go away to prepare a place, Peter. I go away to prepare a place. See, I got to go there first. I got to prepare the way. There's no road to glory unless I go. Hallelujah. I'm the one that's got to plow the field from here to heaven. I'm the one that's got to lay the paved way of God from here to glory. I'm the one that's got to meet Satan head on yonder in the heavenlies and battle it out until I leave a highway and a door by which you can come to be with me. Don't fret, Peter. I go away to prepare a place. Hallelujah. If I go, I'll come again to receive you unto my own. That where I am, there you might be also. I'm with God tonight. He kept his word. He came back. He took me with him. Where he's at tonight, I'm with him tonight. Glory to God. I will return, saith the Lord. The world shall not see me. I won't leave you comfortless. I'll be back over here, Peter. Don't fret. One of them said, Lord, you say we're going to follow you. How can we go? He said, we don't know the way. We don't know the way. Oh, Lord, don't leave me. You ever prayed like that? Lord, don't leave me. Broken all to pieces. Say, my God, don't leave me. Don't leave me. And he said to him, Thomas and the other said, Lord, don't leave us. Said, we don't know the way. We're just like little children. Left down here in the world, you know they'll kill us. You're going away. We don't know the way. Where are you going, Jesus? Tell us the way. Jesus said, I'm the way, Thomas. I'm the way. I'm the truth and the life. I'm the way. No man can come to the Father but by me. I'm the way. I'm the door to the sheepfold. I'm the way. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No man can come to God but by me. I'm the way. I go away, but I'll come back and be with you. I won't leave you comfortless. But if I go away, I'll send the comforter. When he comes back, he'll have a testimony of what I've done. Glory to God. Have you know what the Holy Ghost is? I said this the other night. What is the Holy Ghost? You got a ghost? I've got a ghost. That's a spirit. A ghost. Because it took on a personification. It's called a ghost. But see, Jesus had a ghost. Jesus had a spirit. And what kind of spirit was it? It was the Holy Ghost. Glory to God, his spirit was the Holy Ghost. Who is the Holy Ghost? He's Christ Jesus. Amen. It's the Christ that stepped out of the bodily entombment of the Son of God. The Christ that separated himself from the Jesus. The Christ. You understand what I'm saying, folks? The Christ, the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost comes walking around in here, Who is that Holy Ghost? That's that resurrected Christ. Glory to God, that's Him that said, I'll come back. I won't leave you covetous. Said two or three of you get together in my name and said, I'll just come right down there where you at. Amen. Said, I'll be in your midst. Just two of you together and say, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, glory to God, you feel His presence. Do you feel Him tonight? I feel Him right now. I just look up and I say, Jesus. And I feel Him run all over me. I say, Jesus. He said, I'm here, son. What do you want? Hallelujah. I will return to you, Jesus said. I won't leave you comfortless. And the resurrected Christ came, made His abode among them. He is with us. He gave them His word. He said, I will never leave you. I will never leave you. I've come back, Peter. I've come back, Thomas. I'm back with you now. I'll never leave you anymore. I left you this time, but I will never go again. Never again. I didn't go away to stay. I just went away for a little while, and now I'm back with you. I will never leave you anymore. Never. I'm going to stay this time. I'm going to stay this time. Hallelujah. Don't you feel Him and His presence? I once was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. Never leave you again. Hallelujah. The world shall not see me, but I shall be with you, for I shall be in you. Two or three come together in the midst, I shall be there. If you come together in my name, I shall be in you. For thou art the temples. Thou art my body. I lived in the Jesus when the Jesus walked the earth. I lived in Him. I lived in the Jesus. I walked in the Jesus body. I tabernacled in the body of Jesus. Don't you understand? Tabernacled in His body. But I'm tabernacling your body. You're the body of the Lord Jesus. You're the Christ. Amen. You're my members in particular. You're bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. I'm with you forever, always. I'll never leave you. Never. I'll never forsake you. But lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. I'm with you. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Hallelujah. You love Jesus? Do you love Him? Great and marvelous are thy ways, O God. The hour of thy judgment is come. The hour of thy judgment is come. This camp meeting, the hour of the judgment is here. Beloved friend, the hour of the judgment is here. We made the statement the other night. We just heard that this year, after this year, we understand that Carter is going to turn our troops over into the hands of the United Troops, the World Confederation of Troops, which means America will not have control of war power anymore. I said the other night, it perfectly fits. It perfectly fits. For the Antichrist to come in and take over. For the Bible said, who shall make war against him? If he has control of everything through a computerized means, if he has control of the troops, he will have control of the federal government. If he has control of the federal government, then we are his slaves unless we are born to the Christ. I am not of this world. You are of this world. But I'm not of this world. God chose me out of this world. I am hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. Hallelujah. And John, the voice said, John, come up hither. Come up hither. I'd like to show you some things. What do you want to show me, Lord? I want to show you the revelation of Jesus Christ. Come up hither, John. I'd like to show you something. Paul said, such a one that I knew was caught up into the third heavens. And saw something. And what did he see? The revelation of Jesus Christ. The whole world will have to come to the revelation of Jesus Christ. The headstone crying, grace, grace, grace. I want you to stand with me. We could go on and on because the Lord is here. But I know it's hot. I can tell on the sea. You turn that water up and drink it. Inhale, they would say it's good to the last drop. Just send somebody to touch my tongue. Cool my tongue. Father Abraham, I'm tormented in these flames. But I'm glad that we're not children of the night, children of the day. That day's not going to come upon us unaware. You say, why, Brother Pye? Because I'm looking for it any time now. Are you expecting it any time? I'm expecting it any time. Hallelujah. If the goodman of the house had known what aisle the thief would have come, he would have set up and watched and not suffered his house to be broke up. We're not children of the night. Work while it's day. Through the camp meeting, pray, my brother. There might be a soul saved because of your prayers. You say, well, I don't think anything will happen if I pray, Brother Pike. How do you know? Everything that happens has got to be some reason for it. Somebody had to fast. Somebody had to pray. I don't know how many there is, but God knows how many there is. He knows who they're to be credited to. Isn't that right? What difference does it make in the denominations of the world? They put a preacher up there and they say, you turn in a numerical order now of everybody that gets saved. How can I do that? I don't know who gets saved and who don't get saved. And maybe thousands of people get saved. Only God knows that. I can't turn in no such a record as that. I tried that one time. It won't work. I might turn in a record of somebody I thought got saved. It might be somebody else altogether. It might not have been the Esau that came to the altar that shed tears and couldn't find a place of repentance. It might have been that person that sat back on the back that was saying, my God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. That might have been the one that I failed to put down on the book. He might have been the one that got saved. Who knows? I know one thing. I know that I want to do my little bit. I want to do what I can. I want to do what I can, don't you? Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? As I walked, blessed Lord, in the way Thou hast gone, leading straight to that land up above, while spreading cheer everywhere to the sad and the lone, fill my way every day with love. Sing it with me. Oh, fill my way every day with love. As I walk with that heavenly God, oh, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Soon this race will be o'er, and I'll journey no more, but I'll rest with my Lord up above. Oh, let me sing, blessed King, all the way to that shore. Fill my way every day with love. Fill my way every day with love. As I walk with that heavenly God, oh, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day. Don't you love Jesus? What does it mean, Christian friend, to stand here tonight and to know that you'll never taste of death? Never, never taste of death. I tasted of death one time, but never no more will I taste of death. Never no more. I died one time, but I'm alive forevermore now. Never taste of death anymore. For he hath abolished death, and death is gone, and death has passed away. And there is no more death. Hallelujah. For the Bible said death was cast into the lake of fire. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Glory to God. And I saw a third part of the angels that fell from heaven. Remember, some of these wandering stars are going to topple out of heaven. Some of these wandering stars, they wandered to Brother Wilson's place, and they wandered to my place, and they wandered to Brother Ed's place, and they wandered to the Baptist, and they wandered to the Methodist, and they wander here and they wander there. Some of them wandering stars are going to fall out of heaven. But thank God for them stars. He said, he that overcometh, I will give to him the bride and the morning star. Thank God for that one, that the sun shines within his strength. You know, the sun's a star. The sun shines within his strength. You say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that I light up like a light bulb? A lot brighter than that. The Bible said, the noonday sun shall veil itself in shame, because I shall outshine the noonday sun. What is that light? What is that light? The radiation of that knowledge, that wisdom, that brilliance, that understanding, that greatness. God said, Israel, when you go into Canaan land, all nations shall be afraid of you because of your wisdom. The Bible said they could not withstand the wisdom by which Stephen spake. The Bible said when Moses come down off the mountain, his face shined until he had to put a veil over him. Brightness, the brightness of his countenance. And I will destroy the villain. I will destroy the wicked with the brightness of my cunning. Isn't that beautiful? The words of my wisdom, the knowledge, my understanding, as it comes forth, everything will translate, everything will transformate, everything will melt away into nothing. And the natural star shall not be a natural star for Esau to see anymore. And Esau shall not sit underneath the natural stars and see the brilliance and the glory. For my mind shall transformate that star into its spiritual meaning. And my mind shall transformate a people that are my people into a spiritual image. There shall be another mind, another understanding in another world. And that shall be the land of Jacob. And that shall be the land of milk and honey. That shall be the land that the red dragon can't enter into. And the blood life will be no more, because the blood will be off of the mercy seat, and God won't receive blood anymore. That'll be the end of blood. It won't be able to get in anymore, because it'll leave the mercy seat. There'll be no more mercy on it. The red dragon will be gone. And Satan can't get in there, because Satan is a fallen angel and he has to work through the bloodstream. Has to work through the passions of the body. But he that is spirit, he's born of the spirit. Isn't that right? And we're not in the flesh, but we're in the spirit, having passed from death, the flesh, unto life, from the carnal mind, of the fall of the garden, into life, the mind of Jesus Christ. In the words of life, living in that city, understanding the way he understands, thinks the way he understands, walk the way he understands, do the things he understands. Isn't that wonderful? And Satan can't get in. He's out. He's closed out. Because in that world, the Bible said that outside of those gates are the whoremongers and the murderers and the idolaters and the liars. No one shall enter into that city that defileth nor maketh a lie. But only the redeemed shall walk therein. Only the redeemed of God shall go through those gates. Jesus said, I'm the gate. I'm the gate. No man can go past me to the Father. Only the redeemed. Only the redeemed. Can you fit the word tonight? Can you conform to the word tonight? Straight is the gate, narrow is the way. Can you pass through it? Can you pass through it tonight? If you're carnally minded, you're dead, my friend. If you're spiritually minded, you're alive forevermore. But if you're carnally minded, you're dead. Our little brother Hollis had a vision the other night, dream. Said he was at a place, said it was so much wonderful food. Said Elijah was there, and he said it was such a wonderful thing. Everything that heart could wish for, he said it was there. Hallelujah. Fill my way with love. I'm going to let you go in just a few minutes. Fill my way with love. Fill my way with love. Fill my way with love, for thou art love, O God. Thou art love, O God. God is love. Love is as strong as death. And when we become the creature of love, then we pass through the barriers and the chambers of time. We pass beyond the great barrier of death. We transformate into the future. And then we go beyond the time elements of the world. We move out of this dimension and out of this world into another world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whether in the body or out of the body, Paul said, I cannot tell. Don't you love him? Hallelujah. Let's sing one more chorus, can't we? If you're here tonight and you're undone without God, as we sing this little chorus, I want to give you a chance. Oh, the light of the glory of His unveiled face, of His unveiled face, of His unveiled face. Oh, the light of the glory of His unveiled face. It's the glory that is changing me. Oh, yes, it's changing me. Oh, yes, it's changing, changing me. Oh, the light of the glory of His unveiled face. It's the glory that is changing. I feel it changing me, don't you? Oh, let Thy will be done, Lord. Oh, let Thy will be done. Create in us the mind of Christ. The Father in His Son. For it's in Thy shining glory that we see Thy holy Our hope is to be like Him. Oh, let Thy will be done. Do you love Jesus tonight? Do you love Him tonight? If you're lost and undone without God, if you need a touch tonight in your spirit, in your body, in your mind, in your soul, we're going to tarry for just a moment. And while we're tarrying, just come on down. Come on down for a few minutes and give God a chance to help you. Give God a chance to help you. Give God a chance to help you. Oh, hallelujah. I'm so glad tonight that I'm in the land of the living. Hallelujah. I'm glad tonight that I'm not like the rich man in hell, whereas I'd have to lift up my eyes and say, Jesus, I waited too long. I'm glad I don't have to look and say, Lord, I waited too long. And my heart is broken as I think of those that waited too long. We got word just before we came to church that Jimmy Durden, a boy that we prayed for and tried to minister to and tried to help, about four different times he's had a wreck. This time it's punctured his lung. He's barely escaped death before, and now the doctors don't give him much hope. Sister Frances was crying. She went back to the hospital. She asked us to pray for him. Said, Brother Pike, said, it looks bad for him. A young man, but death is cruel. A young man about to die, had a chance, been asked to repent of his sins, pleaded with, but he's almost waited too long. I hope the Lord will spare him. I hope he'll have another chance, but he's almost waited too long. I hope tonight that there's not anyone that he can hear me that's waited so long that God will answer their prayer. That's put God off so long that their heart has become hardened to where they have no confidence that he will hear them. As long as there's breath, there may be a chance. As long as there's breath, there may be a chance, folks. Tonight, there's people in hell that don't have a chance. Their chance is gone. It may be your mother. I don't know. It may be your dad. It may be your brother or sister. It may be your friend. Could have been your neighbor. Could have been somebody that you thought a lot of. But they may be in hell tonight. Waited too long. Had a chance, but wouldn't listen. There's been people come here to the tabernacle. Numbers of people. I've had numbers of people under my ministry since I've been preaching. Some of them are young people. They're dead. They passed away. They're gone. I remember my brother Charles. His children are here tonight. But I remember so well. I was preaching one night. The anointing of the Lord was mighty. And Charles was in the congregation and he came up and stood before the sacred desk. And I prayed for him. And he stood and spoke in the beautiful tongues of God, the tears streaming down his face. Said he loved Jesus. Said, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. Just a young fella. Not having any idea that just a little while God would call him. And you have to lay down and sleep the sleep of death until the Savior come by to awaken. Just a young fella. Brother Wilson was telling me not too long ago of some of his little children, his darling little babies, how that his heart was broken when they were taken, when the Lord came by to carry him with him. And he broke his heart. You got loved ones. It might be tomorrow. It might be the next day. It could be shortly. It could be tonight. That the Lord might come by your house and he might require your son or daughter. It could be your little baby. It could be your grown daughter. It could be my son or daughter. It could be my loved ones. Happens every day to church people. And any time it could happen to you. And it's for sure that if Jesus tarries, it's going to happen to you. It's going to happen to your loved ones. It's for sure. Someday you'll hear the last words spoken. The last words, and you'll never hear a human voice again. I thought I was dying one time many years ago. The Lord struck me down. I didn't seek the ministry. I never started out looking for a ministry. I didn't have any thoughts about a ministry. I was just a natural, carnal-minded person that was looking for a way to make a living. Worked on a job and was working at night trying to make a little extra money so I could build a little place for me and my family. But the Lord visited me, smote me down, and turned me around. I wasn't looking for a big tent. I wasn't looking for television and radio. I wasn't looking for them things. I didn't know nothing about those things. My mind was far from that. I wasn't in that kind of realm like some of your church people are. I was just out in the world. And when the Lord turned me around, it scared me half to death. And I didn't want to go to hell. I didn't want to burn in the fire. And I just asked the Lord to save my soul and forgive me and to help me. And He brought me into this ministry and added all of these things. Seek the kingdom, all will be added. And He added it, and He saved many of my loved ones. But I thought I was going to die. It looked like I would die. And as I lay on the bed, it suddenly dawned on me. I never thought of death before. I never had considered death. All I knew to do was to live, to eat, to drink. And all of a sudden I thought death, and it hit me so hard. I said, my God, death. Everything will go black. I said, everything will turn dark and go black. And I said, I can't think no more. I won't know no more. And it suddenly hit me what death is. And I thought, well, I can't think no more. I can't hear no more. I can't see no more. Nothing, never no more. Death. And it tore me up when I thought about death. And you know, you don't realize what a price Jesus paid. You don't realize how wonderful it is to have an opportunity just to say, Jesus, have mercy on me and save my soul and keep me from dying. You don't realize until death comes over. You got that baby in your arm and death reaches out and says, I'll have to take it with me. And you say, no. No, you can't do that. You can't do that. But the little eyes start closing and the little breath begins to stop. And the little heartbeat begins to stop. And you say, no. But He slips right on out of your arm. You don't understand till then. But folks, don't wait till then. Don't wait till then. If there's something wrong in your life, do something about it. Talk to the man that knows. Talk to the man that's been through it. Don't wait till then. Don't wait till you press your dying pillar. It could be tonight. It could be tomorrow. It could be any time. Age has nothing to do with it. They say the last report I had, there's been 5 already that's died in the state of Georgia. I believe just in the state of Georgia from the fierce heat. 5 died. Just like that. A man died over here the other day, right here close to us. Had a heart attack. I heard today of another man. Had a heart attack and went out. Don't wait too long. Don't wait too long. How many of you understand what I'm saying? Death is a horrible thing. It's a horrible thing. But life is so sweet. Don't you like to breathe? You're breathing the fresh air. That's life. You turn up the water, the cool, refreshing water. And you drink it. That's life. You hear the little birds sing. Go down beside a little stream and watch it come over the waterfall. That's life. See the little child run and jump and play. I was over at a place today. And I was sitting there and Brother Lyman's little lad came in and Brother Toby's little lad came in. And they came around the corner of a boxed-in area. And I was sitting back here. And when they saw me, they just jumped up and down and said, hey, Brother Pike. Hey, Brother Pike. That's life. The little hearts were so jubilant. That was life. Life so beautiful and so lovely. Don't lose. Don't lose it. Jesus said, rejoice because your names are written down in the Lamb's book of life. I trust that your name is written down in the book of life tonight. Don't take any chance. I want you to lift your hands with me. I want to pray with you tonight. I respect you tonight. I love you, Christian friend. And I want to help you. I've dedicated my life to one thing. And that is to win somebody to God to where they don't have to die. If I can see just one, that's all. If I can make it through this life and see one person And that person will come up to me and say, Brother Pye, I'm alive forevermore because of your preaching. I'm alive. You hold me. If they said, I'm the only one, you didn't reach another, but I'm alive, it'd be worth all that I ever done. All that I ever done. Hallelujah. It might be your son that you reach, and it might be your daughter that you reach. It might be your loved ones that you reach. But reach somebody for God. Reach somebody for God. Hallelujah. Father, Lord of heaven, in the wonderful name of your beloved Son, Jesus, in the darling name of Jesus, Lord, we stand here before the throne of God. May someone somewhere hear the pleading voice of the Son of God. For he said, he that heareth my voice shall live if he will believe. Let him hear and let him believe. Oh, God, holy sweet Master. Oh, Ramashiah. Father, let him hear. Let him hear the voice. Oh Lord, for the voice of the bridegroom is saying, come, let whosoever will come and partake of the waters of life freely. Let him without money come. Oh, Holy Father, don't let humanity perish in this trying hour of desperation, in this moment of confusion and conflict, when no one seems to be able to help. Precious Savior, save humanity. Reach out, dear God, and heal their sick bodies and free them from prison. Take them out of the evil places of conflict and of affliction. Save them for Jesus' lovely sake. Hallelujah. Heal my people tonight, Jesus. Forgive my people of their sins tonight. Heal and make alive. Forgive tonight. Let them feel the Holy Spirit. Oh God, faith cometh by hearing, Father, and hearing by the Word of God. And Lord, you said it's not me speaking, but the Holy Spirit. And as the Holy Father speaks from within His temple, let the voices of those that hear raise up to heaven and give praise and honor and glory and confession, that they might be healed and delivered in the wonderful name of thy holy child, Jesus. Hallelujah, Brother Taylor.